7 weeks old, the young begin to test the limits of their nest. If they survive predators like eagles, hawks, or crows, they'll grow to full adult size after 60 days or so. Their wingspan will be up to 6 feet. Ah, music to the heron parents' ears. Healthy, growing fledglings ready to take off. These parents built the perfect childhood home for their young, without blueprints, architects, or engineers. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann. BirdNote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram, at BirdNote Radio.
Tuned to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Join me, Melissa Lesniak, creator and host of That Vegan Show, this Friday, February 28th at 11 a.m., where I interview two of the founders of Ratway Sanctuary, Lionel and Laura. They tell us about the rats they care for, and also we get to hear stories about Alice and Paige, some of the special rats that have been in their care. So tune in February 28th at 11 a.m. to hear That Vegan Show.
From Pacific Radio in San Francisco, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, we welcome and celebrate the release of longtime Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier after 49 years of jail cell hell for crimes he did not commit. We'll be joined by Len Foster, longtime spiritual advisor to Leonard Peltier. Also, our own Miguel Gavilan Molina will join us, and we'll also do a segment on taxpayers who are suing members of Congress for supporting genocide in Palestine. All this and more coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We are proud and happy to be with you every weekday from 5 to 6 over the Pacifica Radio Network. That is KPFA, Free Speech in the Bay Area. Happy to have you along today. And we indeed do begin this show with the celebration that Leonard Peltier is heading home. He is out of the grips of those who jailed him for decades without cause. And joining us to welcome Leonard out is our own Miguel Gavilan Molina. Miguel, years of rituals at Alcatraz, years of traveling to the border to Wounded Knee to stand for and with Leonard Peltier to make the case that he was an innocent man being persecuted as the entire indigenous community has been persecuted, having its land swiped away. Gavilan, welcome. And we, of course, welcome, as we said earlier, the spiritual advisor for so many years, Len Foster. Len, let me bring you in, and then Gavilan's got a bunch of questions and comments he wants to make. But I have to ask you, after decades of spiritual advice and friendship and camaraderie, Tell us what's going through your mind. Did you wake up this morning feeling a little bit different than yesterday?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear us? Len?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. How are you doing? Tell us about how you're feeling.
I can't hear you too well.
Okay.
Can you turn up the volume?
He's what? What? Okay, maybe we should
turn up the volume.
We're having some. Okay, can you hear us now?
A little bit.
Can you hear us now?
Very faint.
Okay, because this
faint.
Is. Look, maybe we. Let's try, Mike, let's try and call, make a call back. I'm going to chat a little bit with Gavilan, and let's see if we can get a better line with Len Foster. Len, why don't you hang up? We're going to call you back. Okay, Gavilan, why don't you talk a little bit about, ever since this program started 35 years ago, we've been covering and talking about what's been happening with Leonard Peltier. This has been very much a part of your growing and your whole life. You want to talk a little bit about your thoughts?
Just finally, freedom for our national voice of indigenous nations within the United States territory. And Leonard, part of the American Indian movement, is finally released. He's going to have to be under house arrest, but he gets to go home, back to where the buffalo roam. And it's for all of us, Indigena, indigenous, Native Americans, all of us from the eagle to the condor, it's a big day of celebration. This is one of the most, in our communities, regardless of English speaking or French speaking or Spanish speaking or indigenous languages, Nahuatl speaking, this is an incredible victory. Finally released from the iron cage that they had him, you know, for half a century. The most, for us, myself, the inspiration is knowing that they never broke his spirit. No matter what they tried, the attempts on his life, denying him health care, you know, medicine, et cetera, et cetera, never broke him. In his spiritual quest of prayer and ceremony and thank Lenny for bringing that to him, it kept him strong.
Yes. Yes, that's the voice of Miguel Gavilan Molina, also a very strong voice. Miguel has, for the last 20 years, been making sure that Flashpoints and Flashunda, that we have been a part of the movement, that we've been on the front line covering the indigenous communities. Of course, we were at Standing Rock. Also, never forget, and we're going to hear from Bill Means a little bit later on, but never forget covering the Republican convention at the Indian School in Minnesota with Bill Means and working with the American Indian Movement, covering political structures from that perspective. Anyway, I think I'm hoping that we have Len Foster with us now. Len, can you hear us? He's not picking up. All right, well, let's keep trying. Gavilan, why don't you just give us a little bit more
on... You know what
on,
that is?
Yeah.
I was going to say I could call him, but I would have to get off the line here. Because maybe he should be picking
okay,
up.
Okay, here's what...
That we have.
Okay. Why don't you hop off, Gavilan?
And have Mike call me in 5 minutes.
And, Mike, why don't you see if we can get in touch with our second guest? That's a short segment. It's about... Palestine and Palestinians suing the U.S. Congress for supporting genocide.
Dennis, may I interrupt for a second? If we don't catch him in the next 2-3 minutes, we're going to lose him. I think I can get him so we can keep
okay.
this, you know, dialogue going.
All right, let's take a musical break. Let's play some incredible music. And
perfect.
Okay. Let's play the theme by Charlie Lang. You're going to hear the expanded visionary music of Charlie Lang, who wrote our new theme for Flashpoints. Say hello to Charlie. are coming back. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Joining us is our good friend Seth Donnelly, and he is a part of a lawsuit being brought by taxpayers against genocide. They've got some actions happening tomorrow. We're going to actually be doing an expanded speak out on genocide in Gaza tomorrow. But we wanted to tickle this story because it's incredibly important. And this battle against genocide continues no matter what's going on in the rest of the world. Seth, welcome back to Flashpoints. Will you remind people what Taxpayers Against Genocide is and what this lawsuit is about? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. Always good to be on your program. So, yeah, the Taxpayers Against Genocide, it started here in Northern California as a grassroots movement of taxpayers who we were all revolted in how our tax laws were being used by our congressional representatives to fund the genocide in Gaza. And after months and months of people appealing to their representatives, peacefully protesting, sending emails, phone calls, and just being dismissed, and seeing the tax laws continue to flow in the form of military aid and weapons, we decided to file a class action lawsuit and sue our reps, and that in the federal court of San Francisco there, covering Northern California. And then the lawsuit was soon amended with growing interest throughout the greater Bay Area to include the 18 counties from all the way down to Monterey through San Francisco, Alameda, and all the way up to the Oregon coast through Humboldt. And our class is approximately 2,000 people and backed by about 60 different organizations like AROC, Code Pink, many different groups in the Bay Area are all part of it. And our fundamental argument has been and remains that Congress people have a lot of latitude in terms of how they spend our tax dollars, but that latitude is not absolute. They do not have the constitutional right to use our tax dollars to fund genocide, and that not only violates the Constitution, but of course it violates international law. So that's the lawsuit. Last week, the federal judge assigned to the case, Vince Chabria, dismissed the case on the same grounds that the federal court dismissed the class action against Biden over genocide that the Center for Constitutional Rights had filed. And that is an argument that the court essentially doesn't make foreign policy. We completely disagree with that in both. We supported the lawsuit against Biden, and we think that this is not just about foreign policy. This is about our tax dollars, and this is about genocide. So we're pressing on. And part of our pressing on, part of our forward movement is we are working with National Lawyers Guild attorneys from across the country to make file a report calling out our officials for complicity in genocide with the United Nations Human Rights Council. And we're also going to be looking at other international mechanisms to hold them accountable, criminally accountable for that complicity. So tomorrow we really urge listeners to come on out to the federal court building in San Francisco. We're going to announce in detail our international strategy, and we're going to have a press conference and a rally as we build this movement. And the address is 450 Golden Gate Avenue in San Francisco.
All right. And again, this is Taxpayers Against Genocide. And why do you think this is important, and particularly to keep this going now? What does this mean to you? What is it that you're hoping to accomplish?
Well, I think why this has hit such a nerve in terms of mobilizing people, like there's been hundreds and hundreds of people across the country that once they heard about the lawsuit, thanks in part to programs like yours, you know, that you're always covering this beat, is that everybody's saying nothing is more fundamental than our tax dollars being used to purchase bombs that are exterminating the people of Palestine. And you know, that is just such a place of deep revulsion and a growing revolt. It's a taxpayer revolt in which we're saying you know, we are no longer going to allow our officials to force us to be complicit. We're going to stop the genocide at its source, which is the U.S. government. As we also go international, Dennis, we're going to be looking at not just our congresspersons, but we're going to be looking at, of course, Biden and Trump, because as everybody knows, Trump is expanding the genocidal policies by the day.
All right. Well, thank you. We're going to be talking to you tomorrow. We're going to be monitoring this very closely. We're going to have a little bit of a mini speak out. We're hoping to gather some of the voices who are supporting this lawsuit. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing activist in the Bay Area will be on the program tomorrow. So thanks to you.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And Seth Donnelly, Taxpayers Against Genocide. Let's take a musical break and see where we're going to go next. Stay with us, please. Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, we are flying blind into the storm. We have not been able to make that connection. We do have our own Miguel Gavilan Molina back. And Gavilan, let me ask you to talk a little bit about why it's been important to be on this story and the role that independent radio plays in a story like this.
Well, it's the radio that has kept the story alive and in the consciousness of, you know, this country. whether you're in solidarity with Indian nations and peoples and tribal areas and people's ways of life, if you support that, embrace that. And if not, you are aware, if you ever attended any kind of social action or concerts in the last, 40, 50 years, his name has always surfaced. His name has always been in the front lines of every different type of human rights groups, activists, advocates for peace, activists against wars and colonial governments have done. But he's become a symbol not just for Indian peoples, but for people that have to deal with colonial power, with colonial, mindsets, colonial governments. And we have that now here in the United States territories with the fascist dictator Trump and his neo-Nazis taking over this government. The Confederacy finally has taken the White House. They had to wait since the Civil War to do this, and here we are. But again, Leonard represents the resistance, and just the our mere survival of colonial rule, be it from the Spaniards or the French or the English, and even modern day, there is this quiet resistance and defiance against, imposing their will and dominance through violence and machinery and weaponry. They have not been able to break the spirit. And Leonard represents that, the unbreakable spirit. It doesn't matter, keep him in isolation for decades, deprive him of food or deprive him of water or of exercise or of medical care. Through prayer and ceremony, he kept himself solid. And that, for all of us outside of the realm of that madness that he was locked in, now he's free. And for all, as I said, all Indian peoples, all peoples that embrace, the stranger, that have empathy, that have compassion, that have the spirit dwelling in them of light and goodness. He is the light. He is the inspiration. And coming home, everybody, the whole world is watching, maybe not here, mainstream America, Euro-America, but the whole world is watching this. Finally, a leader, one of the longest kept political prisoners in our modern times, is finally free. And that is hope. That act in itself is a hope for the rest of us, that regardless of the darkness they put upon us, regardless of the breaking treaties and breaking agreements, regardless of false accusations and lies and corruption involved in the application of justice, which is not for the indigenous masses, but for the mainstream world in this country, Leonard's freedom is, again, just an incredible a light of inspiration that there is freedom at the end. If we stay focused, if we come together as communities in solidarity, praise the Mother Earth, the four directions, the winds, we do prayer, we do ceremony, rituals, and we do it constantly, all the time. That energy, that masses of energy, not just amongst U.S. territories, but the hemisphere, I said earlier, from the eagle to the condor, everybody's celebrating. I know right now there's a gathering in Panama City, where there's a lot of concern, and also I believe the 100th anniversary of the indigenous Panamanians having their celebration this week. And I know that down there right now, I know Tone Gonzalez is down there along with our Sara Blanco and Franklin, are down there. They're covering it. Even right now, there's a mass celebration in that area and throughout the hemisphere. So, there is hope. Even in the darkness of dark, which we are upon now, where all the civil liberties, all everyone's rights, and there's a refugee immigrant rights movement, but it's not just an immigrant rights movement. It's a labor issue. And I can't wait to see Leonard. I've been advocating for his release for 45, some out years, even from my days at KBBF way back in 1973. you know, to, and from KPFA from 1980 to present day time, we have always have advocated for his release. We've marched at every opportunity we've had here on the West Coast and across the country to advocate for his freedom, because, you know, we have very few at this time and place, Dennis, crossroads of this society. You know, where's the soul of this country, you know, of this United States? Where is it? Well, at this point, it's been taken over by the darkness. But Leonard and Native Indigenous peoples and all of those that are environmentalists, that believe in science and have faith, that, you know, are out there, you know, as labor organizers trying to better lives for others, you know, all those forces and peoples are coming together. And Leonard, now free, that beacon of light is going to radiate and get brighter even so more so. So that's where I'm at, Dennis. And yeah, everybody listening tonight, I just want to say, enact a defiance against the massive the dismantling of our government, of our institutions that are regulated by, you know, thought and the Constitution. We are pushing against that, and we are defiant against that. And that in itself is giving voice to the voiceless. And that
absolutely. Now let's do this, Miguel. Let's do this, because we've got some stuff to do. Let's take a short musical break. Some folks are going to hear a recent interview we did with our good friend Bill Means, the founder of the American Indian Movement, close friend to Leonard Peltier, talking, reflecting on what it means to have a white racist like Trump as president. So some folks are going to hear a little bit of that, and others are going to hear us, and we certainly are looking forward to spend some time with the listeners, having an important conversation. Stay with us. We are really honored again to welcome to these airwaves our good friend Bill Means, founder of the American Indian Movement, co-founder of the International Indian Treaty Council. Yes. Bill, welcome back to Flashpoints. These are tough times. I'd like to welcome you back to Flashpoints. Miguel is here in the studio. Maybe you can begin by just giving your gut reaction. What do you think happened here? Why do you think this fascist was elected president? And what does that mean for the indigenous communities?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad to be talking to the people in the Bay as well as your affiliates. It's always great to come on KPFA and try to get some information on about what's going on in the country. But of course, this is a great setback, especially for Mother Earth and, of course, and our Indian people. You know, they have a document, I think it's called, what is it called, 2025 or something like that?
2025, yeah.
2025, yeah. And it's filled with very radical, you know, almost illegal stuff of treaty violations, in which you've heard it all before, but this gives more specifics in that opening up the mining and, you know, doing away with tribal governments to put us under state jurisdiction, and some radical changes that will actually, they'll never take place, because America has always, and nowadays has backed the sovereignty and the self-determination of Indian people across the country. And I'm sure there are those detractors who want to follow Trump to over the cliff, but we're getting prepared and filing already. People, some of the tribal governments, our tribes here in the upper Midwest and the Lakota Nation, we're trying to right now to put together a coalition. We're going to file an injunction against our president as soon as we can regarding that 2025 and some of the specifics in there. So it's, you know, it in a way, like my friend said, his name was John Thorne. He was an old attorney for Wounded Knee Defendants during Wounded Knee and after. He said, you know, sometimes oppression gets people to organize more and to fight and stand their ground. And so now we don't have no choice. So I think that it's ripe in terms of organizing, in terms of getting people together, but we have to fight all these illegalities that him and his abhorring cabinet. Jesus, man, where'd he come up with these guys? But I can't believe it, man. Like the guy from Interior, he's an oil man from North Dakota right above us here. And he's been stealing Indian resources all his life. And that's the kind of guy they got now. He's the head of, nominated for the head of Department of Interior, which controls a lot of the minerals.
We're talking about Doug Bergman here, Bill. I just want to let people know we're listening to Bill Means on Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Bill, I know you are on your way to Rapid City, actually. You pulled the car over for us, and we appreciate it because it's time to, shall we say, roll up our sleeves and organize.
Yes, it is, and we have a meeting regarding our radio station, our friendly relationship with KPFA has allowed us to reach a lot of other stations around the country when it comes to this oppressive regime that's coming in. We got to get as much information, so we're trying to tie up some of those loose ends, and we'll be getting a hold of you folks there more, see if we can put a regular information together to help fight these treaty violations and human rights violations that are coming. And Michael and myself, today we're discussing the fact that the Maori people of New Zealand went into Parliament. They're in their government and did the Haka dance, which is a ceremonial dance when they're going to war. And that's how serious those people up there, they also had a swing to the right in terms of their government of New Zealand trying to diminish their rights and overturn many, many years of progress and help that the indigenous people have given the government already with their resources. So it's happening to not only us now as indigenous people, but to entire communities, and especially I saw this guy on the radio who's unbelievable, and then I saw him on TV. He's the secretary, they call him the Czar of the Border. And you probably have his name there. But he's already talking about rounding up people and violating their rights by going in their homes and all these things. And, man, it's going to be a fun time. I know there's going to be a lot of organizing going on. And I know our people have to suffer, but sometimes, you know, to wake us up. Because I know that what happened here was really a radical change in the way the politics are run here in the United States. And I think if the Democrats would have been more decisive, they would have had a better chance. But they kept postponing things, and finally they got their candidate, and our president had to step back. I mean, Jesus, we couldn't come up with... We should have had a convention or something like that to give more candidates a better chance now. But, of course, you look back, hindsight is always 100%. So I don't want to say too much criticism about the Democrats or whomever, because That worm turns all the time. That worm is the electorate of the people of the United States. And for them to put Trump back in after all we've seen, and I think the Democrats, they never put the attack on. You know, I mean, this guy is a little guy that wanted to withdraw from NATO and all these things that he did for crimes. We never really focused in on his criminal history and what he was doing. All we just had it on the news, and that was about it. We didn't have any policy or activism around exposing all these things that he's done to the people while he was in there last time. And of course, man, what a swing to the right. I mean, these rednecks really came out, and I don't know what to say, but other than we got to do our own organizing, whether we're Democrats or Lakota or whatever we are, Hispanic people, we're all going to be under fire. And so we got to start getting together.
Absolutely, Bill. And one of the things that I'm really concerned about is that the governor, I believe, of South Dakota, who's really been a supremacist, you know, dog killer, et cetera, also got an appointment. You know, and how's that going to affect
Secretary of Homeland Security?
Unbelievable. How do you think?
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to affect at all? You know, South Dakota. We know that the border, their focus is on the southern border, but you also have a northern border. I wonder if the czar is going to be paid attention to the Canadian border. You know, at all?
They never have so far, and the only thing they do for the Canadians is hold them up from visiting their relatives and doing trade and commerce across between tribes and trying to better themselves. They always have policies to stop all that. So probably more of the same, but more radical violations of the law.
Well, there is going to be a lot of pushback. We know that. We've been hearing that, you know, across, you know, Indian land, across the states, across the country. But one of the things that I think, and you mentioned it, and this is now time to build, you know, to go outside of our immediate safety zones, be it the res or be it the barrio, you know, and reach out. I think if you look at the elections, a lot of people didn't vote. You know, a lot of people didn't vote.
Yeah.
In my generation, I call them, you know, hippies, people that went back to the land, New Agers, you know, tree huggers, dirt worshippers, water protectors. You know, these are, you know, alternative Euro-Americans. Well, they didn't vote. They didn't participate because they were, you know, disgusted at both sides. Well, now, those are the people we need to help us.
Yeah.
We need to reach out and build. I mean, I know you were heading to Rapid City to start organizing. And, you know, we're getting ready at the end of the month to do a special for Leonard Peltier at the at Barrios Unidos in Santa Cruz. And then, of course, the day before, we have Alcatraz. And we're going to use those opportunities to tell people, okay, we've gathered, we're doing our prayers, we're doing our ceremony. And once we do that, we have to go out and organize our immediate communities and organize all those people that have supported us throughout the years. And I know that, you know, Treaty Council is really concerned because things that are happening here, it's like they have a blueprint from what's happened in the Middle East, you know, with, the Palestinian people and their lands. And now we see a situation, you know, in Maori land. And now we have a situation here. So it's like there's some kind of movement against the brown indigenous peoples of the world, it seems, by the corporate industrial military state. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I see. That's one of the things that has really bothered me about this turn to the right, is because they're poised now to begin a radical policies for the land, which is important to our people, important to all indigenous people around the world. And we still hold about 80 to 90% of the natural resources of the world are on our territories because the white man has used up and divided and bought and sold all his resources. So now he's coming for what's left, which is, 80% more of the resources that they're already been stealing for since they've been here, 500 years. And it's a little bit disconcerting, not a little bit, but really disconcerting in that we have a really heavy assault on our human rights, the rights to share in the bounty of what is actually ours. It's almost as if they're coming to continue the theft of our lands so that they can live comfortably, and the rest of us will be like the Palestinians begging for food. They're starting to get that radical in their policy making, and that worries me a little bit, because as indigenous people, and especially the Palestinians, who remind me so much of our own history, whether it's Wounded Knee and massacres that's going on, or the policy of sell or starve, that comes from way back in the American administration when they wanted the land. So it's all a big land grab, I believe. Because who controls the land controls the economy. Who controls the land controls the Mother Earth. So we have to watch out for these people that are uniting on their right here, as they just want to overrun everybody and ignore all our rights, strides we made in human rights and recognition of our treaties, and begin to make headway at the United Nations. All of that's going to have another push. Going to have harder organizing going on so that we start communicating on a more important basis and set some priorities for fighting this land grab.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're honored to have with us today Bill Means. He's the co-founder of the American Indian Movement, the International Indian Treaty Council. And he knows more about broken treaties in the United States than anybody in this world. Bill, I have to ask you this straight on. I mean, for instance, yesterday or the day before, you had the President of the United States. He meets with both Trump, welcomes him in, and then he is hugging and shaking hands with the president of Israel, saying, "I am a Zionist," while a slaughter is in progress. And we all know that this is, in fact, a genocide that is happening. Are you concerned that you got a government that's willing to sustain this kind of brutal genocide and arm Israel and then sort of hug the president of Israel in the middle of the slaughter, they're going to be coming back for a second shot and a third shot at the indigenous communities, as you're saying, to steal the land and use the resources, drill, baby, drill? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's more of a history repeats itself in many ways, and I think it's more of the same of the genocide that was committed against indigenous people and other minorities around the world as they began to take over more land with this industrial revolution and the greed that has taken place for the resources. You know, the extractive industries are running loose and all over the world. And people aren't going to stand for it for too long, because we're going to have a revolution. We're going to have a radical change in government in order to save what little we have left. And I think, I had the honor of meeting Yasser Arafat in Beirut. And one of the things that he said there when he spoke to the Palestinian people, he said that the Indians are we, and we are the Indians. As Palestinians, he says. Philistina, Philistina, he says. And these are words that stuck in my mind in terms of what's going on every day now that we see the terror in these children's eyes. And they even had a guy on TV they showed shot by the army. He was like 7 years old or something. Threw a rock at a passing military car and they shot him dead right there on the street in front of the whole world. And nobody said nothing. And instead of that, they're inviting them in the White House. And pretty soon we're going to have to, you know, paint that White House red or something, because they're getting carried away now like nobody cares. Is this turn into a race war, or what are we doing here? We got to challenge them on every front, because that's what it's appearing to a lot of us who are indigenous and even those who have been oppressed, such as the Palestinians have fighting for survival ever since 1949. And so we have to reassure each other and renew our relationships formally. Maybe we start signing treaties among each other so that we can guarantee that we have support in different parts of the world and make this international struggle help us expose what's going on throughout the world, because that's what's happening, is they're going after the resources. And this Project 2025, oh man, that's a really radical human rights violations there. And so our work is cut out, and we have our marching orders now, and we're going to have to get together and perfect those so that we know what each other's doing, and we create some solidarity in our efforts so that we're all fighting for the same cause and we're all in touch with each other, so that we create a big voice and a big powerful movement.
Bill, we're obviously, we want to track you all the way through this, but Miguel and I would also like to ask you about the situation with Leonard Peltier. I mean, it is extraordinary that he is still in jail. You've got the United States rushing 2,000-pound bombs to slaughter Palestinians, and the death toll, according to various studies, could be as high, could be over 200,000. And Leonard Peltier, who was set up on charges how many decades ago? And the United States, talk to us about it, please. Tell us about why we should care now more than ever.
Well, Leonard Peltier, you know, he represents the way that the United States has treated American Indians for a long time, and that's total oppression. And that's who Leonard Peltier represents to our people. You know that the whole issue of the Palestinians, and which is so dear to our hearts as indigenous people, and at the UN we work together, you know, it's the Palestinians that help us get recognition as indigenous people when we first went to the UN. They were the first ones to step forward with solidarity, with trying to get our human rights and showing us the way to navigate within the UN system. So we've been friends for a long time, and here we are now. We've got Leonard Peltier, in which we've had presidents who have considered, from what I understand from his attorneys, almost every president since he's been locked up for the last 40 years has at some time considered his freedom. But they're always afraid of one Indian. And why is that? Is it because we represent the history of the treatment of Indians by the United States government? Is it because we represent the true history of the United States as the one of genocide, rather than sugarcoat it with these battles in Europe and these battles in South America against drug cartels? And we have this sugarcoated history. we have this these lies about a true history, and Peltier, that's what he represents, the truth. And, you know, his even his trial, it has enough irregulatory issues anyway to warrant at least a new trial, and that's what we tried for all these years. But it's so bad that if they give him a new trial, they know it's not going to work, and he'll be free. And so he's kind of in a bad situation of politics preventing his freedom. And each now we have both parties have had a chance to free him, but for whatever reason. I mean, he should be free just because he's an Indian, because of our history of oppression and our history of land theft and our history of human rights violations. He should be freed on that alone. And so we are a little frustrated as Indian people here in the Americas that continue to lose our land and to have to fight for our resources and fight for the true history to come out. Now they want to tell us how to teach our children in public school. They don't want to hear about Wounded Knee or the massacres that took place of Indian people and the longest walk and the walk for to Oklahoma all the way from the southeast. Trail of Tears, they call that. They don't want to hear those things in the history books. Now they're trying to edit us out of existence, for Christ's sake. And we're not going to stand for it. So we're moving ahead on all fronts. We're trying to get together and organize against that. I know some tribal chairmen are meeting to maybe file an injunction against that 2025. As soon as it's published, as soon as they start implementing some of those policies of it. So, you know, we're getting prepared, and we're asking all other allies and people of solidarity with the Indian folks, as well as our friends that's trying to come across the border to seek a better life, and other friends within all movements, whether they be movements for freedom of Palestine. We're trying to network, renew our acquaintances and network very strongly with all those forces so that we create a big fist just in case we have to use it.
Absolutely, Bill. And you know, you brought up Leonard and the situation. For me, you know, the guy Hinckley that shot Reagan 3 times, you know, the attempted murder, you know, of a president, and his son, I believe, his press secretary, you know, he got off a year or two ago, you know, got sent back home, released. Really? You attempt to murder the president of the United States, you go to prison, and then they let you out. Leonard didn't attempt to murder anybody or prove that he murdered or killed anybody, and yet there he sits. Well, we've seen, you know, 160 years, Bill, since the Civil War ended in, what, 1865? And it took them, you know, 160 years to get today. So the Confederacy now has taken over the White House. The supremacist nationalists, you know, are now in control. Well, the good thing on our side is that, you know, the masses of people, even though it was put out that, you know, the demos lost, they lost by a very small margin. So the hope is to organize, push back, and maybe in the last couple of months, the Biden administration might change its mind and it realized that, hey, Leonard needs to go home. You know, he has grandkids.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not going to be with us that much longer. He has all kinds of health issues. And really, you released a convicted, you know, person that was convicted, attempted murder of a president. He's kicking it, having barbecues, watching the sunset, you know, enjoying the rest of his life.
Our attorney general, who's been nominated, is a sex offender. Now he's nominated as a top law enforcement official of all the United States of America. Imagine that contradiction. Oh man.
Hey Bill, I'm reading a little bit from the web here. This is they refer to him as the new sheriff in town. We're talking about Doug Bergman. He's the new Secretary of the Interior, he's got some pretty disgusting ideas in mind. Doug Burgum, he's the one who's going, they're calling the sheriff. And it's amazing, Leonard Peltier is in jail. And Donald Trump, who everybody watched attempt to overthrow the election and the government of the United States, not prosecuted by the Attorney General, a Democrat, right? The Attorney General, a Democrat. And here comes President Trump, the insurrectionist, as the new president. How do you figure?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, that's we call that in our culture a heelka. Everything's backwards.
Yeah.
And the heelka's in the power now, so we got to watch out.
And Bill, I wanted to ask you, I really wanted to get your gut reaction from this. During the Democratic National Convention, there were many protests by Palestinians. There were many requests to let one Palestinian speak, just one, at the convention. And the Democrats could not allow one single solitary Palestinian with a community in the middle of a genocide to speak. Did we really expect that the Palestinians that have large populations in various states are going to run to the poll believing that, don't worry, you know, we know Trump this is terrible and we want to do something about that genocide, but we just have to vote now. I mean, and the bombs keep getting shipped over. Like I said, 2 days ago or yesterday, you've got the president of Israel being hugged by Biden, who's saying, I am
a Zionist.
I am a Zionist. Really, you would have been surprised, would you, if they did support Harris, right? I mean, that would have been shocking.
Huh? Why are you going to do that?
No. We're not.
Oh, I was talking to my daughter. She went to the store, so should actually get going.
Okay, Bill. All right. We appreciate the time. You want a final thoughts?
Well, my final thought is that we have a long history of resistance, all of us. And we have to call on those ancestors and those spirits, and we have to call on all our resources in order to take up this fight. It's going to be a good one. It'll be a big one. But we've never been afraid. And so that's another thing that we have to count on, is the bravery and tenacity and survival of our people is at stake. So like the Palestinians, we must survive.
Absolutely, and we will survive. At the end, after fear comes and goes, we will be the one standing. Orale, thank you so much, Bill. And
thank you, Bill.
And, we'll miss you at Alcatraz, but your spirit will be there. And we'll probably call you from the rock to do the programs that afternoon. So you will be presente.
Gracias, señor.
Muchas gracias, Bill.
Muchas gracias.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Tune in to Higher Reasoning Reggae every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. Higher Reasoning Reggae is dedicated to bringing international reggae word and sound power to the massive airing early Sunday mornings at 3 a.m. Only